Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Before we get started with today's episode, we have a quick word from actually a sponsor. Today's episode of Lighting Up the Marquee is sponsored by Dark Sales Productions. In today's world, video is the best way to share your story. Whether you're looking to market your business or brand on social media, or even just share some amazing memories like your wedding and other events, Dark Sales Productions is committed to creating the best content and capturing your most precious memories for you. Based in the Chicagoland area, Dark Sales Productions has worked with clients in the past to help market both local businesses and larger brands, capture newlyweds' perfect day, produce short films, and even work with individuals looking to have professional photos and headshots taken. No matter the business occasion or individual, Dark Sales Production is ready to work with you, so you can visit their website. It's darksalesproductions.com. That's DarkSales. productions.com, and you can learn more about them as well as to contact them today, and you can get started on your next project. Also, if you go over there, mention listening to Lighting Up the Marquee, you'll get a special promotion with them. So all you have to do, just go over there, just mention you listen to this ad on Lighting Up the Marquee. We'll hook you up with some special offers. Once again, that's Dark Sales Productions. Now on to today's episode. All right, that should be the one.
Yeah, they should sync it up.
That should, hopefully. I've been hating Skype with doing the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, because every time I have a guest on, I'm always just, like, hoping it works.
Mm-hmm.
I might try Zoom. I know Nick and I one time did Zoom for the show, and he was able to record both of us on Zoom, like, our audio, and it was pretty good.
From my experience, Zoom, it seems to be the one with least latency. I think that's why a lot of people use it for, like, the teaching and all that stuff, too, you know?
I think I might give in, and because I think he had the minimum one for like 15 a month, where it's like it doesn't stop you after like an hour or 45 minutes.
Oh, I see.
It's one of those things where Zoom, like, for free, it's fine, but you only get like a certain time limit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pay for it, you get unlimited. And I might look into Zoom and getting it, because I've been not liking Skype with having guests on this show.
Right. Well, I mean, have you looked at Google? Hangouts or no?
Not yet, no. I haven't looked at that one. I need to look at better ones besides Skype.
Yeah. We could probably try that next time.
Yeah, we'll try that. But for everybody listening, welcome back to the show.
Welcome
back. We got Arsenio back on for the fourth time.
Yeah.
I was like looking at the guest sheet, trying to see how many times you've been on.
Yeah.
But we got you back on the show. How you been?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Surviving over here. It's really crazy because, like, the Bobcat Fire is literally, like, down the street from me.
Oh, shit.
Because I can see the mountains from my house. So it's maybe about, like, 20 minutes away driving. But it's but you still get all that ash, all that smoke over here. And, like, earlier today, because it stopped raining ash. That I went outside and swept and everything, and I was like, dang, this is horrible. And then if it kicks up again, we may get more, you know, so. But, yeah.
Yeah, how have all the fires been out there? Because we left probably like a couple weeks before they all
everything
got
charred
super
out.
Bad.
Well, we found out that it was a boy, and then that fire just...
Oh, great.
Dude, oh my god, I remember seeing so many memes, like, especially the Mulan one. That one had me dying. Was the dude from the beginning of the movie.
Where
he goes, now all of China knows you're here. It's like, now all of California knows it's a boy.
I think my favorite meme from the gender reveal was, it was like some Xbox game, and like off in the distance, like a nuke went off. And then it was like achievement unlocked, like gender reveal.
Yeah, I saw that one. That one's, I think that one's in Yucaipa. That one's a little further away from me, like way far away, completely the opposite side. But the Bobcat Fire is the one closest to me. But again, we're in no danger. But still, it's just the air and smoke and all that stuff. You know,
it's crazy. It's crazy that it's raining ashes. I remember seeing a friend of mine who lives in Burbank was saying, like, he saw ashes on his plants outside of his apartment.
It was crazy because we were literally, it was Labor Day. Labor Day? Yeah, it was Labor Day. Whatchamacallit? Because we were outside. I went outside to go unlock the gate in the morning, and I was like, is this ashes? Like, it was, like, so fine, but you can still see it if you really look closely. And I was like, that's crazy. I think it's raining ashes, you know? Mm-hmm. And then from there, that's when I looked. It was fine the next day, but, like, it was really orange. The sky was so orange. Even the moon at night was, like, orange. And then the next day, which was Tuesday, it was fine, no ashes. But on Wednesday, it was horrible. Like, it was, like, really big pieces of ashes, like, raining down all over the place. It was crazy.
Yeah, I was seeing, because I remember the only time I experienced, like, a bad fire when I moved out to L.A. was, what was it, 2018, when the Malibu fire happened?
Yeah.
And, like, all the smoke came in. I was living over at the Park La Brea apartments.
Oh, huh.
And I remember it started out fine in the day, but then progressively it started getting more, like, apocalyptic looking.
Right.
And I was like, this is so weird.
Like, yeah, because I remember going to work that day, and I was just like, dang, this is bad, you know? Because I remember they were even thinking about, like, closing us because it was so bad, you know, with the air quality and everything.
I know. I kept seeing, like, everybody's posting, like, on the weather app, it's saying, like, normally if, like, when I was out there, it said unhealthy air quality for sensitive groups, yada, yada. But then when I left, it was just saying smoke. And I was like, oh, shit. And then I've been seeing – I saw on Twitter someone posted a drone shot of San Francisco when it was, like, blood, like the blood orange sky, and they put the Blade Runner 2049 score to it. And I was just like, this looks cool, but also terrifying because it's real.
It's so sad because it's, like, it's so cool. It's so beautifully shot. It's such a beautiful look. It's just how – or the reason why it is horrible, you know?
Exactly. And it's crazy that it's, like, the whole West Coast. It's not just California. It's Oregon and Washington, right?
Yeah. That's what I saw, too. And Oregon is horrible. Like, they showed it's shots, like, of Oregon. It's worse than California. And I was like...
It was, like, blood red.
Yes.
Like,
it's just... I don't know. I can dive into a whole thing with that. And I don't know. Wrong podcast for that. But it's just...
I don't know. The world is burning. I remember because we moved out here back to Indiana. Uh-huh. And everyone was like... Was like, are you glad to be back in Indiana? And I was like, I mean, it's not burning down like California.
Yeah.
But it's weird being back here and then seeing everything out there.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's crazy because there was a whole, like, 2.5, almost 3 weeks where it was just straight north of 100. Like, consistently.
Yeah, we were there when that heat wave was happening. It was...
Oh, yeah, you guys left, like, right before, or, like, during it, right?
We left, like, there was a brief window, I think, when it was, like, down to maybe, like, the low 90s.
Yeah.
But, like...
Yeah, that was, like, the only break. It was, like, oh, it's 95. So it's like, oh, thanks.
Yeah. Well, because we left that night. So we left on the 24th or 25th of August.
Yeah.
It was, like, 90-something in Glendale where we were. Mm. And then when the movers finished packing up the truck, we just headed out and we drove like 6 or 7 hours to Flagstaff, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And with it, excuse me, within like a 50-mile like period, we went from like 115 in Arizona down to 68 at the hotel.
Oh my God.
It was like a 50-degree difference. And I was like, what the fuck? And like it started feeling like the weather obviously getting further away from California started feeling like it was obviously hot, but it started feeling humid versus just heat.
Yeah.
And I probably would take a little bit of California heat, but even back in Indiana, I'm like, the humidity is not as bad as just like walking out in Glendale, 108 degrees.
Yeah. Cause it was horrible. Cause I remember the heat was just, you felt it burning. like you don't even have to, you just step outside and you're like, this is like a different kind of heat, you know?
Well, like the apartment I was in, you know how the layout was.
Yeah.
Like it's like the living room, the kitchen, and then the separate rooms for like the bathroom and the bedroom.
Yeah.
The only AC unit was in that living room.
Oh, dang.
And it only, like, cooled off that half of the apartment.
Right, but not in the back
half. Once you went past that threshold into the bathroom and the bedroom, yeah. It was just hot because no air was getting over there.
Nah, dude. Like, that was my deal, too, because I just redid my room, like, repainted it, essentially remodeled it. Like, it's just a lot of stuff. I was just stuff I've, like, since, like, high school that was, like, been in my room. And I'm like, you know what? It needs to go. it needs to go. So, getting rid of all that, and it was hot in my room. Like, so hot, especially during that whole thing. And I'm like, we need to put the air on. And my mom's all, it's fine. It's fine in here. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm, like, sweating, and I'm just sitting here, you know? But, like, go to find out, like, my stupid fan was, like, blowing the wrong direction. And I was like, wow. It was just like, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, we would be like, Claudia and I would be sleeping in the bedroom, and there would be nights where neither of us could sleep because we would just be waking up like sweating because it was so hot. And we even debated a couple nights like sleeping in the living room because it was the AC, but then the AC would keep turning on and off, and it was super loud, and it was just like a lot of sleepless nights because of just how hot it was in. Because we shut the bedroom door every night, but we try to keep the door open all day so airflow would get in. But even then, we would have two fans in the bedroom, like, going all the time to keep it cold, and it still was, like, I would be sitting in front of the fan, like, I would get some air, and it would still be hot. Like, if you left, like, basically we had the two fans set up on both sides of the bed, so it's like that little threshold of, of air. As soon as you walk behind that fan, it's hot.
You're done.
It was horrible, and
I know.
Luckily, here it's been a little better. I woke up a couple nights ago, or like a couple days ago, I woke up, my throat was sore, and I was like, I'm hoping it's not, like I'm getting sick, or like, because it's not flu season, but allergy season over here.
Oh, so dude,
that's what
same
it,
over here, especially with all this ash and smoke, dude. I've been dying, like literally dying. It's horrible.
Because that's what it was, because my throat was hurting, but it wasn't my whole throat. It was like one side, not the other side. And I was like, this is weird. I don't remember, like.
So I'm half sick?
Well, because I know people are saying like a symptom of COVID is a sore throat.
Right.
And I'm like, my cat just jumped over a gate and knocked it down.
Oh, God.
We'll talk about them later.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I woke up and I was like, I don't feel sick. It's literally just my throat.
Uh-huh.
But this morning I woke up, it was fine, because I was like, I took some tea last night and it's been better, but. My cat is jumping.
Oh my God.
Claudia. But, yeah, it's a whole new experience out here in Indiana versus LA. Like, just seeing the difference of what's all open and what's. It's also interesting seeing all the people out here versus in LA.
Why? Because there's, like, no maskers over there, or?
I mean, because out here, it's a lot less restrictive. Uh-huh. Like, obviously, all the places we've been going to is masks required, and, like, if you're going shopping and everything. But Claudia and I went to the movie theater, and that's something we haven't done in months, because everything in LA is still closed. But even at the movie theater, like, you have to have a mask on. It says, like, you can have it on before, during, and after the movie, like, you should. But unless you are eating or drinking in the theater, you can take your mask off. Which we did because we went to go see Tenet. And I got my free, like, birthday popcorn and drink.
Yeah.
So I got that, and we were eating it, like, through the movie. But even going to the movies was an interesting experience. We went to, like, a 4:30 showing. Because all the movie theaters here aren't opening until. Keep him in the bedroom. Sorry, we're dealing with the cats trying to figure out where to put them for now.
No worries.
just because they're, like, I don't know. But the theaters out here are. They only open at like 3:00, I think, or like 3:30
in the afternoon.
Yeah, in the afternoon, and then they close, or like their last movie showing doesn't go past 8:00.
Oh, okay. So it's essentially like almost like a curfew kind of thing, right?
Sort of, yeah. And then they're only doing 40% capacity
Oh,
at the
okay.
theater. The thing I like, though, when you reserve a ticket is once you reserve your ticket, depending on the seating in the theater, because like the Dolbys have the reclining
Right.
seats. So those seats are already pretty spread out, so they don't have to block the rows behind you and in front
Right.
of you. But if you're at like the regular stadium kind of seating, if you buy a ticket, the two seats next to you get blocked off, and then the three in front and the three behind you get blocked off.
Dang. Oh, that's actually
And
pretty
then
good.
if you're with a group, so the only way if like you were going to like with somebody's, you have to get the tickets all at the same time because then they block off that whole
Row.
area you're
Yeah.
at. Yeah.
I mean, at least they're doing that, and at least it's good because like because I know there's been a few times where I would go to a movie by myself or with someone, and then I get stuck near like some like random weirdo, and he's like taking up the entire like spot next to me, and I'm just like the armrest and everything, and I'm just like, okay, it's like I kind of wish I had my little personal space. So I mean, I guess that's a
Dude, I'm petty when it comes to sitting at the theater. I got before this pandemic all started, I always wanted to sit by myself if I went by myself. I didn't want to be near anybody. I remember I got a ticket to a movie and I was the only one in the row. And then it was like just me. And then there was other seats, like there was obviously seats, like I think four next to me that were empty and then one next to me. I got on right before the movie and some dude bought the ticket next to me. Like sat next to me and I was so petty, I went on, canceled my reservation, moved to the other side
Stop.
of
Are you
the
serious?
to this yeah, I got the exact same like seat on the other side of the row 'cause there was the divider. I was like, I don't want to sit next to anybody. Like you're ran who like gets on an app, sees like the one seat like blocked off and all the other seats and is like, I'm going to sit next to this person. Like I don't know them. I was like,
I
hell
hate
no.
that. Especially you know the seating over there in City Walk, right? How sometimes they have it's almost like a love seat kind of a thing where it, like it's two
It's just
yeah,
two
it's two
seats,
seats
yeah.
together. There was one time where I got stuck with this girl next to me, random girl. Like it was I just happened to get that seat and my group is all to the left of me and she has the armrest up and she's like laying like all curled up. And on her boyfriend on the right side of her, but her feet kept kicking me. And I was just like, dude, I'm so close to saying something. I was just like, please stop.
Please stop. That's like the one thing I've actually that I liked about the going back to the theater during this time, because like I said, we went to a 4:30 showing. There was only maybe seven people, including me and Claudia, at the theater, and everybody was so spread out that it like just felt empty. I think we might go see New Mutants tomorrow, but I was
I
literally.
heard mixed things about that. I haven't seen it because they have it available over here, but it's a drive-in theater.
Like
Yeah, it's a
drive-in.
drive-in.
I wanted to go to the Mission Tiki or Tiki Inn
Yeah.
drive-in. I think it's over by
Yeah, I
Covina,
think
right?
so. But the thing is, because my thing was like, well, how's the audio quality? Like that was always my thing with drive-ins. And I follow David F. Sandberg, the director of Annabelle and Shazam and all the
Lights out.
Shazam and Lights Out, and he was like, I wish I saw this in a theater. The audio quality is horrible. I was just like, yeah, that's. I'm like,
Like, I
why would I
like.
pay? Because I looked into it. It's like you pay $30 for your car, and then you pay like $20 every person in that car. So I'm like, why am I paying $50 to get an experience when I could just wait for it to come to on demand and then just
Disney
wait,
Plus or
watch
something,
it at
yeah.
home. And that's how I kind of am with Tenet, as much as I want to see it in the theater, because over here in Orange County, they just started opening up theaters, and everyone's like, "Oh, you should go see it." And I'm like, "Dude, it's Orange County. I'm like, there's gonna be a bunch of no maskers going on that I'm like, I don't want to deal with that, you
Exactly.
know." And then and they're like, oh, they're opening in like San Diego, and I'm like, I don't know if it's worth a 2-hour drive, but I'm like,
Tenet was,
I'd rather
yeah.
just wait for it on screen or on demand, so I can just buy it, and then I'll enjoy it at home because my speaker system and everything's pretty good, where I don't feel like,
Or even get like get like the Blu-ray or the 4K
oh
whenever it
yeah,
comes out,
oh yeah,
but
for sure.
Because I don't know, because when I was looking at times for New Mutants, I was always checking because it's in a smaller theater than Tenet. Because we went to see Tenet in IMAX, so it was a bigger theater. But like with New Mutants, I'm like, I want to make sure it's like maybe just me and Claudia, because I don't want to, like, if it's a smaller theater, it's gonna be not a lot of people, but still like,
a little bit tighter. It's, yeah,
a little tighter. But I was checking all day yesterday. 3:45, nobody. 4:50, nobody. 6:40, nobody. And 7:40, nobody. And then I checked like another theater. Same thing, except for one of the show times. I think like the 7:30 had like one person.
Oh my god!
That's because no one's seeing New Mutants. Everyone's going to
Tenet.
See if they are going to go to the theater. They're going to go
see
Tenet.
Yeah, because New Mutants is such a like throwaway movie that they're like, oh, might as well just get it out there. That I'm just that it's not worth it. You know.
I feel so bad for the filmmakers of that film because it's supposed to. It like was announced 4 years ago.
Yeah, and it kept getting pushed back.
It was supposed to. Kept getting pushed back, finally gets released during a pandemic when no one's going to the theaters. They're just like, we'll finally put it out for you.
It's
like, I feel so bad for them. Like, your movie that you worked hard on and, like, constantly had to keep reworking only to get put out when no one's going to go to
the
theater.
Exactly. And then, like, from what I've heard, it's like, if it would have come out when it was supposed to come out, it probably would have gotten a better reception. Because of the inventiveness of some of the things that happen, but because it came out this year when we've seen a lot more inventiveness, it's like, oh, okay, we've seen and done it before, but they were the first to see and do it. You know, it's like it's that kind of a thing. I'm like, well, that sucks. You know.
Well, it's also like your movie was supposed to be, I was reading about it, was supposed to be a trilogy. Like, this was supposed to be the start of a new trilogy of X-Men movies. And then as soon as the Fox-Disney merger happened, they canceled the other two sequels, but we're still going to put this one out and just be like, oh, well, we'll still release it, but there's nothing after that. Like, we're not going to do anything
after. Exactly. It's like, it's they did the same thing they did to Fantastic Four.
The Josh Frank one?
Yeah,
the new one?
Where it was just kind of like, well, we spent money on it. Might as well to put it out somewhere, you know?
Well, Disney Plus. I watched it on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Was that the first time you saw it, or?
Yeah, because I just watched that, and then I watched the original one, like, with Chris Evans for the first time. I pretty much watched all the Fantastic. I haven't seen them.
Really? No. Oh, wow. I remember seeing the first one. I remember seeing the first one with Chris Evans when I was like a really young kid, and I thoroughly enjoy it. I look at it now, I'm like, yeah, it has its issues and you know everything, but it's enjoyable.
I will say it's better than the new one.
I wouldn't say that. I would say it's more cohesive than the first one's more cohesive than the newest one, but I think the newest one is more inventive, and I think if they would have left him alone to do his thing, we would have gotten a better Fantastic Four, or at least a different Fantastic Four than we would have gotten, because you can totally tell the first half up until when the storm happens, you know, it's a really good movie, and you're like, okay, all right, I can see what's being laid up. After that part and spoilers on a what? 2 year, 3 year old movie. But after
it's like 5
whatever,
years, right?
When I think it's when Reed escapes the lab, then it turns into something completely different. And I'm just like, you could see that's where things completely just like there's too many cooks in the kitchen. They were trying to like fix it when it didn't need to be fixed. You just let it go, leave it be, and stop trying to meddle with it, you know?
I feel like it was kind of like a similar thing with the Hellboy movie with Neil Marshall, where they essentially locked him out of the editing room, and the studio like took control of his movie.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, I didn't like Hellboy, but I felt bad about what happened with him.
Yeah.
Because he actually, like, he makes fun movies. He makes, like, fun horror movies. But no, I don't know. My issue with the new Fantastic Four was, like, I was watching it. It's an hour and 40 minutes, I think.
Something like that,
And they get their powers an hour into the movie, and then they have, like, the final conflict at the end. Like, the end of it felt super rushed, and in the at least the Chris Evans one, they get their powers 15 minutes into the movie.
Well, I think
I was like, I mean, they got to
right,
the point.
But I think with this one though, I think it was more of a supposed to be a, more of a character study than it was supposed to be, like, oh, their powers and look what they can do and all that stuff. Because it's like, you know their powers, you know their story. Let's focus on the people of it, you know, which I think was the right approach with a little bit of a horror twist to it, you know, which he was doing. But I feel like the Fox at the time was just kind of like, no, we want a superhero movie. And he's like, well, that's kind of what I'm doing. You know, he was basically trying, by the way, it looks like he's trying to do the Spider-Man 2 of Fantastic Four. Because if you look at Spider-Man 2, there's not that much Spider-Man in Spider-Man 2. It's all about Peter Parker, you know?
Right.
There's maybe like maybe 20 minutes of actual Spider-Man in the movie, you know? In a 2-hour movie, it's only maybe 20 minutes, and the rest of it is just Peter Parker deciding who he wants to be, you know?
It's kind of like kind of like The Dark Knight. Like, there's not a lot of Batman in it. It's a lot of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Like, the same thing with Joker. I think he's only in the movie, like, 25
minutes.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
I think one time I, like, timed him how long he's in the movie.
Yeah, he's in the... Joker's in there very little, but the way they executed his presence and how they kept him in the background, not necessarily there physically, but just his presence, made him feel like he was there longer. Almost like in Silence of the Lambs with Anthony Hopkins. Dude was in there for what, 10 minutes of screen time?
Something like
and
that.
And he's the most memorable thing in the entire movie, you know? And it's just crazy.
That just shows, like, that's just crazy, like, seeing powerful villains like that or, like, these iconic movie characters, but they're not in the movie that long.
The same with, I just read something recently and I was like, what? I thought he was in the longer. It was Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. Like, he's literally there for maybe, he's there in the very beginning, and he's there at the very end. He's in, and the movie's like 2 hours long, and together he's probably there again, maybe like 20 minutes or so, collectively, you know?
It's also like a lesser known thing, but I just watched Rob Zombie's 31, but his House of 1,000 Corpses trilogy with Sid Haig as Captain Spaulding. Captain Spaulding's barely in House of 1,000 Corpses, and he's like the most memorable character in that whole movie and probably like the whole trilogy. I don't know. It's weird. It's like crazy seeing all these another horror movie, Trick or Treat with Sam.
Oh, yeah. He's only in like a small portion of the movie.
He doesn't even talk.
No, but it's. I mean, if you think about it, it's almost
it's like
Boba Fett. Yeah, it's just like, yo, that looks cool.
Boba Fett.
You know.
Fucking yeah. Boba Fett. We can use that to segue into our technically first topic of the show. Technically, Mandalorian Season 2 trailer dropped two days ago. So I'm excited.
Dude, I'm so hyped. It looks so cool.
It was a good trailer. It looks like... I don't know. The thing I liked about the first season of The Mandalorian was it's such a small story.
Uh-huh.
But it makes it feel like a Western, which is like, that's something I've been wanting to see in Star Wars, because it's kind of like a space Western, but the movies, at least with the Skywalkers, is like a soap opera, but I always want to see like the other characters or like the dirty side of Star Wars.
Right, and I think they were, because I remember, I forgot how long ago that was. It was like right after Episode 3, but I remember them saying that they were seriously considering doing a what's it? Isn't it like Precinct 13 or Sector 13 or something like that? It was like a bounty hunter show, and it was supposed to be like the crime syndicates of like Coruscant and whatever. Or I may be thinking of a game, but either way, like George Lucas had so much in plan for that, and then it all kind of went away, you know. So, but I love that. I love those pieces, especially because you get little bits of that in Clone Wars, where you get to see the crime syndicates and you get to like kind of venture off into these kind of like side stories that branch out into more of the lore, you know, and it all kind of pieces back together. And then, and also
Mm-hmm.
the novels, like Dark Disciple, it's like Asajj Ventress has like this love interest with a Jedi, and it's just like this what, you know? But it's so cool because there's different stories that like feel so singular, like they can stand on their own, but it all intertwines back into the main story, you know? And they all have their different vibes. You know, and I love that, especially with the Mandalorian. Like you said, the first one, it felt like Sergio Leone like film, like the entire series felt like you're watching like The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. You know, and it just felt so awesome. But then with the trailer with this one, it didn't feel so much like a Western. It felt more like, it felt almost like Leon the Professional in a weird way. You know.
It feels like a, yeah, like a spy,
Yeah,
kind
or
of like
it's
espionage.
more like, okay, now I have this kid, now I have to protect him and teach him and, you know, everything. And I liked it. It looked really cool. And I love the part. I love the part where the kids where the kid sees the darts like light up and he just hits the button and he go like goes in his little pod. And
I like
I
that
was
part
like,
too.
yeah, the kid, get out of there.
They didn't give away a lot in this trailer, which I thought was good, 'cause there wasn't any there was like a brief look at Rosario Dawson and but no Moff Gideon.
Rosario Dawson
There's
was in
also a
there?
rumor that wasn't she isn't she the one in the
No,
cape
they're saying
or
that.
the cloak
No,
and
no, no. They're saying. I think that. I can't remember the actress's name, but there's rumors saying, because they didn't confirm who she was, but they're saying that she's Sabine Wren from Rebels.
who,
No,
Rosario?
no, no. Rosario is Ahsoka, but the one you see with the hood, there's rumors are saying that's. I can't remember the actress's name, but. They're saying that she is supposed to be Sabine Wren from Star Wars Rebels. That because at the
Is it
it's a little bit of a
not?
spoiler, I guess. So if you haven't seen Star Rebels, you know, a little bit of spoiler if you know when it comes to season two. So I mean, if you really need to, if you want to be really caught up, you need to see all of Rebels because it really sets up what's going on here, you know.
Especially with Moff Gideon, right?
Yes.
Because that's where his lightsaber came
Yeah.
in.
And especially because the lightsaber, that lightsaber, again, no spoilers, but it kind of comes up in Rebels, especially in the last season. And it doesn't explain how he gets it, but you know it's there, and you know Sabine had it. So it's just kind of like, what happened to have him have it now, you know?
Well, there's also rumors. I was trying to look it up to see if I was right or like confirming what I m read a while ago that Boba Fett might appear in season two, because I think the guy that played
Yeah,
Jango
he's coming back.
is coming, but they don't know if he's going to voice
I think he
Boba.
is, but it's. I don't know. I
It'd be
think they
weird
should
if.
just leave that alone.
And so, I remember hearing people being like, oh, he escapes the Sarlacc pit.
That's
It's like,
always
no, just let
that's
him,
such a big
like.
fan theory, but it's just personally, I'm just like, can we just leave him alone? Like, just leave him alone.
Right.
He died. Moving on. You know?
He was cool for his little
Yeah.
time. Like, it's the same thing with like Darth Maul. Like, they want to, besides like him in Clone Wars and Rebels, which I heard is like, I haven't seen it, but I heard it's
Oh,
pretty good.
dude. Oh,
I need
wait,
to
have you
see it.
seen the fight between Ahsoka and Maul?
Yeah, I've seen the well, no. I've seen the fight between Obi-Wan
Dude.
and Darth Maul.
They did motion capture with for Ahsoka and Maul, and Ray Park came back to do motion capture for him. It
Oh,
is
really?
you're watching two people, not animated characters. You're watching two people fight, and it's amazing. It's so cool.
I need to watch those shows. I watched a little bit of Clone Wars, but I need to get back
No,
into it.
yeah, I think it's IGN. They put out a list. It's a little bit all over the place. I think it's because Cartoon Network just kind of was just like, oh yeah, we'll just ship it out as they're ready. So chronologically, it's not in order. So like you start in like season three, chronologically you start in season three. Then you go back to season one for a few episodes, back to season two, then back to season three, and then you're jumping between one, two, and three a lot. And then after that, then four through seven, I think it is, or eight, Then it goes back into chronological order. But
Got it.
it's a lot of jumping around, but they have a list online to tell you, hey, this is how you should watch it. Or because there are a lot of times when you watch it just season one, just as it comes, like one, two, three, four, five, you're gonna see characters that like die off, and then all of a sudden they're back, and you're just like, I thought they just died, or I thought they're in this planet. Why are they here all of a sudden? You know, but like, if you follow the narrative that they have, then it's better that way, seen that way, because it's easier to keep in your mind, like, okay, this is what's going on chronologically, and so you're not technically
Okay.
lost story wise. So.
Yeah, that's I think the thing that I was watching Clone Wars and then I got out of it because it's so much jumping. Like, 'cause I was watching it chronologically, but I need to get
Nah,
back
dude,
into it.
it's honestly worth it, especially with the last season, dude. I had tears. It was, oh God, it was so good.
I have to get
Oh
into it
man,
'cause
because I me too. I was kind of that way too. And then like when they were like, oh, we're coming back with last season, I was like, all right, gotta jump back into it. And dude, I was like, I am ready for this last season. So when the last season came, I was like, yes. And the Rebels, I think the first season was solid. It's not great. I thought it was solid. The second season, though, oh man, oh man, that was really good.
Yeah, I want to watch it because that's what everybody's that I've talked to has been like Clone Wars is the best Star Wars thing outside of like the original
Yeah.
trilogy and like The Mandalorian. That's probably the best live action thing
Yeah.
they've done. I don't know. Star Wars and even the new game that came out, what is it, Squadron?
It hasn't come out yet. It comes out at the end of the month. Or no,
That's the new game
October
that they're
9th or something like that. I don't know.
was the new game they're releasing. And I saw like a little bit of the cinematic
The
trailer they
Hunted?
did.
The Hunted one they released like yesterday or 2 days
It's
ago?
like a 9 minute
Yeah,
thing.
dude. I am so ready for that. It looks so cool.
I don't know. Every time I watch those trailers though for like the Star Wars games, like their trailers are always great for the EA
Yeah.
games, but just 'cause I know it's EA, like I always like hesitations
I
about
think the
it.
one thing that kind of gives me hope is 'cause Respawn just gave like trust back with the Star Wars fans with Jedi Fallen Order. Because Jedi Fallen Order, I haven't completed it yet. I think I'm about halfway through, but according to my friend, there's a lot of planets that are in that game that come to fruition in Mandalorian season 2 that you see in the trailer already. You don't know what they are, but like I'm pretty sure they're going to be like, oh, you know, all this and that. And if you read your Star Wars lore, that's almost the same planet at, I think it is the same planet as Starkiller Base, you know. But so
Oh,
it's
interesting.
just but it's like unless you're up with the books, up with the games, all with the narrative, then you're going to be like, what's this planet? What significance does this have? And then when and then only until at that time, then you're like, oh my gosh, they're here, you know, like before this even
Yeah,
happened. So
I need to get back to Fallen Order. I think I played it and got past the beginning, but then I think I set it down.
same.
I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima a lot.
Oh yeah. I have that game. I haven't played it yet. I'm still getting through Last of Us Part 2.
Oh, dude, you need to
Dude,
finish it.
I there's
It's
so many
long.
times where I'm sitting down, I'm ready to play it. I turn it on and I turn it off. Like it's so emotionally heavy that I'm just like I don't think I, 'cause I got to so far that at the end of it, I'm like, dude, I feel so spent. You know,
How far
I
into it are
got
you?
to they already got captured and I'm already like cutting fools like throats and everything and I'm just like, oh my God. I was like
Wait, who got captured?
me and girlfriend. What's her name?
Oh,
Thank you.
Dina?
Yeah.
Dina
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Ellie.
yeah. They got captured and then killed the Asian dude and then
Oh, you're not that
oh
far.
no dude,
You
I'm
still
still
got
in the
a long
beginning.
way to go.
It's just it's very heavy. I can't get over that.
I know a lot of people were criticizing the second half of the game, but that's where I was like really. I got super invested in the second half. I was already invested, but like the second half, they do a turn, like a big turning
Oh, okay.
point, and you'll know when it
Okay.
happens. But it's awesome. Like
I'm excited to finish it because thinking back to it, I was like, dang, even the first Last of Us, I didn't finish right away. Like, I got up to a point and I'm like, yeah, I'll come back to it. And I literally sat there and then I came back to it and then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But by that time, everyone's already done with it, you know? So, but.
I feel like I like Last of Us 2 better. It's like two completely
Oh,
different
yeah. Oh,
feelings
for sure.
about each
Yeah, yeah,
game.
yeah.
But Last of Us 2 almost got me at the end because it got me so invested in like every character that it's pretty much a masterpiece, I would say. It's awesome. I think I told, I forgot who I said it to, but I said it was the best film of 2020. Because technically it kind of
Oh,
is a
dude,
film,
it's
but
so the animation is so good and the textures and everything. It really blew me away of how well it was done, you know?
that's the thing. I played Last of Us 2 and then I went into Ghost of Tsushima. And Ghost of Tsushima looks good, but like I played it right after Last of Us 2 and I was like, "Man, I got spoiled on Last of Us 2 graphics," cuz Ghost of Tsushima has like decent graphics. The people look very like clunky at points. And I don't know, there's something in the game I don't like. When they do cutscenes, it always fades to black and fades back in. And they do that within cutscenes. Like they'll go do it to go to a cutscene, then they'll do it again within the same cutscene to do like another
Oh,
take.
okay.
And I don't like
That's
it. And it, cause for me it breaks up the whole
right.
like cinematic
Right.
aspect of
Have you
it.
played God of War?
The new one? I haven't played it yet 'cause I've been trying to play I'm trying to finish God of War 3 and then go into it.
Oh, okay. I guess I can see that. Because
Even though I know like they don't really explain, I know how God of War 3 ends. I've seen the ending and like they don't explain it, like what happens to him in 4 or like spoiler alert, why he's still alive.
They don't so far.
But
That one
that's
too.
because
I'm in the middle of. I haven't finished it yet. But that one,
well, that's because they're doing a
it's a whole new
I think
trilogy.
they're
They
doing
basically did like a soft
yeah.
reboot of it. But it's so good because I was like, because mind you, I never I played I think the first God of War, and I was just like, yeah, it's not for me. You know, the first three, I'm like, this and Max and everything look awesome. I'm like, cool.
It's just a bunch of button
Yeah, and
mashing
I'm just
and
like, okay, I guess. I mean, but that's not really for me. So when I saw the trailer for this come out, I was like, dang, okay, this looks different. And then I think it was once the story trailer came out where he's like, this was my past self or whatever, and he's like, I'm still paying for the sins of my youth or whatever. And I was like, oh dang, I'm like, okay, they're really going different with this one, you know? And I was like, oh, okay.
well, plus they got a different voice actor because I remember reading somewhere that they were gonna bring the original guy back, but they had to get like, I think they said they wanted to get a new actor because the Kratos' only emotion in the first three games is just angry and yelling. Where in this one they wanted him to be like still maintain that anger, but he also has like more layers to him besides just like, I'm gonna kill
No,
Zeus.
that's exactly in this. That's exactly how it is in this game. And dude, dude, there were so many times where I was like one tear crying. 'Cause it was just like it's not the big moments, it's not the swelling music or anything. It's these little moments that they show, and I'm not gonna say where because I want you to be fresh going in. But it's these little moments he has, that just utterly breaks your heart, because you can tell he's trying to be a good person and he's trying to be a good father, but it's just like he feels like he can't, and it's just so heartbreaking to see, you know?
I think that's why I got into like, because I didn't play God of War growing up. I got into it late, but I think that's the thing that separated it from me. Beside a button masher, is like the story was interesting. But like beside him just going on a killing spree, killing everybody, it was like an interesting lore. And essentially him becoming God of War, and like the reason he's white is all the ashes of it's all the ashes of his victims, right?
All the ashes of his victims.
That are just like tattooed on him essentially, or like permanently have his skin like
Exactly,
that.
yeah.
Cause it's just like games like that for me separate a regular video game from like something that's interesting. And I think that's why I get that's kind of like why I'm gravitated to Ghost of Tsushima a little bit. The story's all right, but I don't know. There's cool parts about the game. I will say it's very repetitive, though.
Oh,
like, it's a lot of, like, the same stuff. So I lose interest when I'm playing it. I'm like, it's just the
same. No, I got you.
I think that's how I kind of got over
Fallout 4 that way, too. Because, like, Fallout 4, I was so in it. I was, like, grinding and grinding and grinding. But, like, I felt like it was, like you said, it was the same thing over and over and over again. And I'm just like, all right, I'm going over here. Got to liberate this thing. Got to kill this creature. All right, moving on, you know? And it didn't feel like there was an actual, like, story. It just felt like, all right, you know, I never finished it. But I was just like, I would feel like I don't have to. I got bored of it, like, very quickly. But, like, with, oh, my gosh, as soon as this game came out, and it came out because it was on Game Pass on PC, and I was like, I can't wait to play it. It was Outer Worlds from Obsidian. It's the same ones who did Fallout New Vegas. And I was like, oh, okay, let's see how they do it. And, dude, oh, man, it gets you. And it really challenges your morality, you know, because your moral compass, because it's like save the few or save the many. And your choices, they remember your choices, and they actually affect you later in the game and how different characters interact with you and how they see you. And I'm just like, dang, like, this is, like, even though the graphics may not be, it's very stylized graphics, but it's you're not looking for any realism, but the story is so on point. And I'm about halfway through that one, and I'm like, this is a really good game. Same with Watch Dogs 2. I've been, like, because that one I was sleeping on for a while, because I'm like, oh, it's GTA. I really don't care for GTA. It looked like GTA 5, but I'm just like, I got very bored of it. GTA 5, because, like, it makes me laugh how everyone's like, you can do whatever you want. I'm like, so what is there to do? You know, I'm like, if you can do whatever you want, all right, give me a mission. Give me something other than, like, okay, go have fun. I'm like, okay, with what? I've stolen every car. You know, I'm just like, I don't.
I personally like the Red Dead games better than the GTA games.
I'm getting
games.
Back into Red Dead Redemption 2. I still can't get over the slow parts, but it's just like, all right, I just have to get over it. But I've replayed it, and I'm like, dude, this is really good, you know?
I think I just finished it for the third time.
Oh, my God.
Like, the whole it's a good story. I like the story a lot.
I had to restart it, because I'm like, I don't remember anything that happened. So I ended up being back where I was, and I think I got... Oh, shoot. What's the first town you get to after the train robbery?
Valentine or the snow town?
Not the snow town. It's past winter.
It's when you get to Valentine.
Okay.
When you get out of the mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that one. I got back to that part. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm picking up things I missed before, you know. And I was like, oh, okay. But I mean, it's just. I enjoy a slow burn in a movie. I don't like slow burns in a game because I feel like my attention span is so quick when it comes to a game. Like, if it's too much of a lull, then I'm already checked out. I'm moving on. You know?
Well, the thing about Red Dead 2 is, like, yeah, like, for me, replaying it, I go quick through the slow parts, or at least the beginning, because I'm like, all right, I want to get past, like, this stuff. But with Red Dead, there's so many, like, random things that happen or random events around you that it keeps me interested. Yeah. Like, I tried doing all the side missions first before I even did, like, the main story. I would only do the main story so I could progress to other places, but I was doing a lot of the side stuff this time.
That's what I'm doing with Watch Dogs 2. Because, like, with that one, it completely blew me away because it's completely different from the first Watch Dogs, which kind of turned me off. But once I kind of got back into it, I was like, dude, this is actually a really good game because it's a complete social commentary of our world today and, like, how connected we are and how easily influenced we are, you know? And it's a completely fictional thing, but it's at the same time, it's like, dang, this is pretty almost... like, real, you know, in a weird way. And I'm like, dang, this is pretty intense.
That's what I thought was crazy, like, with the whole pandemic coming out and then, like, The Last of Us 2 getting released. People were saying they shouldn't have done it because it's a pandemic and why would you want to play a game about the end of the world?
So what?
Because I want to.
We watch movies. We watch movies about the end of the world. I mean, and nobody's throwing a
everyone
fit.
Everyone watched Contagion when the pandemic
it's
started.
It's true. Dude, that movie's good. I remember...
I think I saw it in theaters and I might have fallen asleep to it. Because I was young when
it
came out.
Oh, no. Contagion? No, it's not Contagion. What's the one with Dustin Hoffman?
Wasn't it a Contact or something?
I think
like that?
So. No, hold on. Dustin Hoffman... It came out in the 90s. It's with,
I don't think it's Contact. That's with McConaughey.
Hold on.
Outbreak?
Outbreak. Yes, yes, yes. Because Contagion's, like, is...
Contagion's with Matt
it
Damon
is.
And...
No, but Contagion is basically a remake of Outbreak. I've seen both of them.
Yeah.
Contagion's alright. You need to see Outbreak. You need to see it.
I'll have to check it out.
Because that one is so good, and it's almost scary how, like... Almost verbatim of like what's going on today about like, oh, it's nothing, don't worry about it, or oh yeah, we got it, don't worry about it. And when when the scientists and everyone are like, no, we need this, and like the government guy is just like, no, you're fine, don't worry about it. And I'm just like, oh my god. You know, and this was back in March. You know, when I saw it. And then as things kind of unfolded these past what, 6-7 months, I'm just like, dude, this is we're living in Contagion or Outbreak. We're living the movie Outbreak, and it's insane.
Yeah, that's why I was like, when Last of Us 2 came out, I was like, I want to play it, and like it actually got me through a little bit of quarantine because it was like my way to escape and go into another
yeah.
world. But I don't know. The thing about Last of Us 2 is I don't know what part of the game how many of the zombies have you encountered? Is it just the same ones, like clickers and runners? Or
I got clickers, runners, and I got that big guy, the big bomber guy. And I was just like, what the heck is that? I was like...
You haven't gotten to the scariest one. You haven't gotten to the most... Well, there's one that I'm pretty sure people would say is scariest because it's the biggest. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen it. It's going around the internet, but... There's another one that scared the shit out of me when I was playing the game, to the point where me as the character was like, I don't want to keep going like forward, because it's like the scariest thing. Like, I don't really get scared that easily, or like when I'm watching things. This made me like jump and get like goosebumps and chills like playing it, because I was like, I don't want to, like, I was checking every corner. I was like, I don't want to go forward because it comes out of nowhere.
Oh my God.
It scares me.
No, thank you.
It's you'll know when it comes up, but it's a part of the game. It's essentially another form of the zombies that you can't see.
Oh, God. Dang it.
Where they're like, it's them trying to sneak up on you.
Oh, love.
And it's anxiety.
Lovely.
And
thanks. Thanks for that. Jeez.
I'm giving you a heads up, at least. For me, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I went into it without knowing.
Oh, man.
And
dang it. Now I'm going to be all frazzled just trying to get through the game.
Like, you know the script treatment I sent you? It's like that gave me chills, like, in the game.
Oh,
like,
geez.
But it was... That's, like, the scariest thing I've seen in a while, was that part of the game.
Dang. That's...
And then the rest of the game was just me. Every time those things kept coming, I was like, where are the fuckers? Like, I know you're here. Like, you don't scare me anymore.
Show yourself! You're over here like Kevin McAllister. Did you hear what I said? Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid anymore.
I want to replay Last of Us 2 because I want to replay it and try to be more stealthy. Like, I tried playing it the first time stealthy, but every time I would screw up. My favorite part is there's some parts where there's clickers and like runners and people. So my thing was I would throw a bottle.
Oh yeah, at the people
to get the clickers to go after.
Yeah,
yeah. That's best.
That's what I did too.
And then I would just sit back and wait.
And it was funny because not funny, it's kind of sad, but like. Because like there's one part where they're coming after me. I just got released, or I freed myself from where they had me captured, and I was up on the rooftop. I was underneath these like air conditioner things, and they're like, they're around here somewhere. And then they're like, oh, we're gonna go check it over here. Just stay up here. So to the enemy. So I sneak up around them like that, and mind you, I have my friend watching me like play it because she already completed it. But she wanted to see how I'm doing it. And she was like, no, you need to go around. You need to go, like, you need to go the other way. And I said, I just turned around. I was like, no survivors. And I just went after the people. I was like, this is horrible.
That's like, yeah, there's like so many different ways to play the game. Did you hear they just announced their new modes? There's like, what is it, grounded mode
For Last of Us?
and perma in Last of
Oh, I
Us,
didn't know
yeah.
that, no.
It's like the hardest difficulty, but then on top of the hardest difficulty, there's permadeath. So if you die, you go all the way back to the beginning.
Dude, I'd be so mad because there's so many times where I'm like, I would literally miss a button press, or I would hit a button press, but it just wouldn't register for whatever reason, and I'm like, I dodged. It's like,
Oh yeah, same. I did that a lot where I was like, what the fuck? Like, I
yeah,
dodged.
it's just ugh.
It's a good game. It's so good. I want to replay that and maybe the first one. I think I tried replaying the first one a while ago and it didn't have that same effect on me.
Same. I remember trying to replaying it for the second one. I was like, oh, I can't wait, can't wait. And then I was playing through this first one again, and I was like, yeah, it doesn't have the same like sparkle. Like it's better. I remember it being better than playing it, you know?
Well, I think it also has to do with like maybe the engine it ran on, because it came out on PS3, then remastered for
Yeah.
PS4, and this one came out for PS4. And I don't know. I feel like if I replay the first one, I'm not gonna like it as much, just because the mechanics for two are so
Yeah.
smooth, and like everything's more improved. That if I go back to the first one, I'm gonna be like, eh. Like at least with Uncharted, I didn't play Uncharted 4 first and then play the trilogy because I hadn't played
Yeah.
them. I started from the first one and played all four of them.
Nice. I
So like each time it got
played
better.
the first one all the way through, and I'm like, I can't wait for this game. And then I got introduced to God of War, and then I never looked back. So I was like, I need to finish up 2, 3, and 4. And then it was a free download on their PlayStation Plus. They had the spin-off of 4. I can't remember the name of it, but it was like Uncharted 4.
Oh, Lost
Yeah,
Legacy and
that one. And so I literally have the entire series on my PlayStation. I just need to play it.
I need to play Lost Legacy. I played all the other ones. Four is great. Four is
That's what
really
I've
good.
heard, and I'm like, I can't wait.
Like, I think for me, out of the Uncharted series, it goes four, two, one,
That's what
three,
I've
if I
heard. Yeah, yeah,
remember.
yeah.
Three is fine, but it's just like I didn't like the villain. There's a really long part where he's in the desert that's boring. But yeah, that's a good series too.
Okay. I gotta check it out.
We can move on to probably like the last couple things we were talking about, because I wanted to ask you. So I'd seen Tenet and you've seen
Yeah.
Mulan. I wanted to get like our thoughts
Have you seen
on
Mulan or
each of
no?
those. Not
Okay.
yet. I was gonna wait till December when it
Oh, I
comes
got you.
out for
Oh, that's
free.
right. You told me that.
But I want to talk about Tenet and I want to hear your thoughts on
Okay.
Mulan, but let's also, before we dive into that, let's talk about the trailer I sent you
Oh.
before we started
Yes.
recording. Synchronic.
Yeah.
So this is a new trailer for a movie called Synchronic, directed by Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead, who I think right before we started recording, a cool story about one of those directors, Aaron, was the two cats that I adopted recently. I messaged him on Twitter because he was fostering them, and he was basically he put a photo of one of them, and he was like, "We're looking for an adopter." And then I messaged him like that I was interested. And then he gave me all the info saying there was two of them, that they needed to get adopted. If they didn't get adopted by July 5th, they were going to be put on a transport with a bunch of other kittens and sent to
Oh my
Oregon.
God.
And so I messaged him and I was like, oh, I'll be interested in both of them because it was a brother and sister and they were like a bonded pair.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I said I was interested in both of them. And basically by saying that, he essentially put me and Claudia at the top of the list of like, basically, he referred us and was recommending us to the shelter we got him from, or like the society we got it
Yeah.
from, because he was saying everybody that was interested in them only wanted one of them and
Oh,
would
yeah.
separate them. So basically, he as soon as we were talking on Twitter for the whole like for a couple hours, I think, and then he messaged or he gave me the info to call the society they were at, and then he essentially got them to do the stop transport for them so they wouldn't be put on the transport to
Oh, good.
Oregon. This is around like July 1st is when we got them. So they needed to know within like a couple days, otherwise they would have been
Oh
shipped
yeah, for
out.
sure.
got in contact with them. We talked to the people. We were asking them all these questions because we'd been wanting to get a cat for a while. And he basically, they were telling us that through their program, all the cats that they have, or like all the animals they have before they get adopted, get spayed and neutered right before they get adopted. So like all the medical charges are paid for. Basically, once we adopt them, all they needed was a couple shots. And then,
hey, that's awesome.
And they were telling, I don't know if it's still like, if they do it all the time, but they were saying how, they have a buy one, get one deal. So like if you adopt one animal, it's $25. But if you wanted to get a second one, it's like free. So we got both of them for $25.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, what? That's one cheap for kittens. They were only like, I think they were turning 3 months old. But that was crazy. We essentially paid $60 because we bought a carrier from the place we got it from. But it, for both of them, was a good deal. And ever since then, I've been like in contact with Aaron, like talking and like updating him on how they're doing. But yeah, that's how we got our cats, was from the director of Synchronic, which the trailer just dropped. It has Jamie Dornan from 50 Shades of Grey and Anthony Mackie.
I didn't recognize Dornan.
Yeah, he's the other EMT.
Yeah.
He's like the
I didn't recognize him at first. So I was like, why does that name sound familiar? And I looked him up. I was like, really? I was like, oh, okay.
Because I've been waiting for this movie for a while, because it was supposed to, I think, come out last year, if I'm not mistaken. Or it got released at a film festival last year. But then ever since then, it's been quiet. Like, no trailer, nothing. But Aaron and Justin do great movies. They have The Endless, Spring, and Resolution, which are all great, like, Lovecraftian horror movies.
Yeah.
I've talked about Resolution on this podcast a lot because it's one of the most terrifying films I've ever seen. And it's not a, like a conventional terror. It's like more like you think about it and you realize how terrifying it would be.
Oh, okay.
Along with terrifying images in the film.
So it's something like Hereditary, that type of thing.
Yeah, but even the images in the movie that you see aren't necessarily like shown. It's like off screen or like shadows that you have to fill in.
Oh, jeez.
And I take a lot of their movies as inspiration for my writing because I think their films are really smart and very creepy at the same time. But Synchronic just dropped their trailer today, and I wanted to talk to you about it because I'm assuming you haven't seen those other three movies.
I haven't.
Or don't really.
I never even heard of them.
I think Resolution is on Amazon and Spring might be on Amazon, and then I think The Endless is on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Oh, I gotta check them out.
If I'm not mistaken. They're slow burn horrors, but they're good. But I wanted to talk to you and get your thoughts on Synchronic and see what you thought about it, because I thought the trailer looked
awesome. Looked great. I thought it looked really awesome. It looks very twisted. Where I think it looks very interesting. Where, like, if the theaters were still open now, then I'd be like, for sure, I'm going to go see this movie, you know? That one, like, the trailer that they presented, I'm like, okay, you got my attention, you know? It looks really good.
I think it's getting released on October 23rd, but I saw Aaron and Justin put out a message that said, I think in LA, at least, they're only going to put it in for, like, drive-ins, and I don't know if they're doing on-demand yet, but I think basically they said they're waiting for in theater because they essentially said they weren't going to put it in theaters because they themselves don't feel comfortable going to theaters yet. So they wouldn't want to put people like going to the theaters if they're not even comfortable going.
Right. Yep. Yeah. So I get that, especially with everything that's kind of going on, you know?
But hopefully, at least out here, there's some way I can go see it, whether it's in theaters or if it gets released on like Amazon for something, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
But I like the trailer a lot because I was reading premises about it, but a lot of the visuals I was not expecting in the trailer, or like, I didn't expect a lot of like otherworldly aspects, or even like culty, not even culty aspects, but I know it took place in like New Orleans.
Yeah, so it's going to be like voodoo stuff or whatever.
Yeah, there was a lot of voodoo aspects in the trailer, which looked pretty cool. But I think Claudia, when we were watching it, she even said it had, like, Get Out vibes.
I think it's different enough where that didn't even pop in my head. Like, oh, this looks like Get Out, you know? I think it's different enough to where you're like, okay, where it's its own thing. It's not necessarily like another Get Out or whatever, you know?
There's a lot of creepy imagery in it, and like a lot of creepy match
Oh yeah. Oh
shots in the
dude, I
trailer,
know.
at least.
The editing, at least I don't know how the movie is, but at least the trailer wise, the editing looked really good. I love the
I hope.
match cuts.
I'm pretty sure the movie's gonna be that way too,
That's
but
pretty cool.
I already know because a lot of people may see the trailer and get misled that it's gonna be fast pace. If it's anything like their other films, it'll be more
Slow
of a
burn.
slow
Okay.
burn. Hello. My cat just jumped up on the desk.
Oh, hi.
There she is.
Hi, little one.
There she is.
She's so cute.
She doesn't want to be
Yeah.
held.
Get off me, human.
She's the so that's Mia, the brown and white one. She's the one I post a lot about on the podcast. She's the one that always like lays on the desk and gets like suntans. She's so weird. Like she'll want to be like cuddled and pet when she wants to, and it's always at the worst
Yes.
times.
No, that's
But
like
then
Elliot. Elliot's the same way. And he's my dog.
when you want to cuddle with her, she's like, no. She'll push away. The other cat, Jules, who's the black cat, he's more like cuddly, or he's more like willing to be held and like lay on you. She's weird. She always gets up at like 6 a.m. and will like basically bury her head on you. So you lift the cover up and she'll go in the blanket and go hide under the
That's so
blanket.
cute.
She's not at 6 a.m. when you're sleeping.
Nah, I feel that. Duke wakes
Wait.
me up like that sometimes, and I'm like, dude, can you not? Can you not?
It's like not now. But yeah, they're great. I sent a photo to Aaron because the photo we saw was like her pulling on a lamp cord. And then she was in the car and was pulling on Claudia's air freshener, and it was like literally the exact same photo that I did like a side by side, and I sent it to him. And I was like, nothing's changed.
That's funny.
But yeah, everybody should go check out the Synchronic trailer. It's on YouTube. Comes out October 23rd in some places. I don't know what all the details are for the movie, but if you can go check it out, I would recommend it. And also go check out their other films. I think, like I said, they're on Amazon Prime and
Gotta check
Netflix.
that
I'm
out,
not sure
yeah.
if. I think Resolution is on Netflix or on Amazon, excuse me. I know The Endless was on Netflix for a while. I don't know if it still is.
I'll check it out.
But let's get into the two movies and then we can wrap it up real
Okay.
quick. Let's talk about Mulan because I'm more curious about
Okay.
that because I've heard a lot of mixed things
Me
about it.
too. And I don't understand where the hate is coming from. Because everyone I've spoken to, they're like, I don't like it. Where's Mushu? Where are the songs? And I'm like, go see the animation if you want that. You know? I'm like I don't understand why people get upset that, oh, I want it just like the animated, and then they do that with Lion King, and you're like, no, it's too similar to the animated. I was like, okay, then what do you want? You know?
Right,
I don't understand
it's the
that.
same with it's kind of like when Force Awakens came out and people complained about the prequels being like it's too different from the originals, and then Force Awakens come out and it's like the same as the original, and people are like it's too original or it's too much like the
And
original.
I'm like, okay, then what do you want? And so like with this, so with this one, I was just like, I just think you guys are just being bratty, you know? I think you guys are just like, oh, I want it my way. It's like, okay, it's not gonna be your way. It's the
Then
story
go
they're
make
telling, and
your movie.
exactly. And so like personally, I really liked it. My only thing is the editing. The editing was so janky at some parts,
Like
especially the action
how
scenes,
so?
because they the best way to I mean, I guess everyone who's seen it, they know what I'm talking about, but it's just like because of I mean, I'm pretty sure you've seen the wire work and the special. Oh my god, she's so cute. I'm pretty sure you've seen the wire work they've done and like the behind the scenes of like all the action scenes and all that stuff, right? You know? And it looks so cool. And you're like, I can't wait to see this fully realized. But the way they edit it looks like they're editing like a Marvel movie or like it looks like they're editing like a Marvel movie hand-to-hand combat rather than a John Wick, where you see every motion and it's not fast jump cuts, it's like fluid motion, you know? But
So it's like, especially with like the war shots,
yeah, no, the shots,
I'm guessing that's
the
gonna be
like the
very.
cinematography is amazing. Everything looks gorgeous. But I feel like the editing really is distracting for it. Another thing too is that I think another thing that people got a little upset about is that like she's not a normal person. She's has this magic thing or whatever about her that makes her special. And I'm just like, well, they said that this is more towards the original more towards the original legend compared to the movie. So, you know, I mean, like they said, like with the animated worked for American audiences, not Chinese, you know.
That's what I heard. I heard it, I don't know. I think I heard China doesn't like the Mulan
No, they
movie.
don't, because it's for them to have like all of China bow to her. That's like unheard of and wouldn't happen, you know. That's something like an American audience would respond to, not, you know, not there, not a Chinese audience. So I've read, so I've researched. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know too many people who, you know, responded to that. But
I think I heard the biggest issue with the Mulan movie is the like more so like real life how they filmed it in like a bad area of
yeah,
China,
it feels
like a
like
very like
everyone's beef with this movie is more political than actually like genuine criticism. So I don't know. I just feel like everyone's just kind of like up on their high horse about it being too political and oh, why did they film in China? Why did they film? I'm like, well, probably just to get accurate, like so it can feel like it, yeah,
Authenticity.
authenticity. Or you know, like they filmed in New Zealand and China, so it's not like, you know, it's not like it's only in one spot, you know?
That's a weird argument for someone to have, being like, I'm mad about this movie because they filmed it in
No,
China. It's
because
like.
they filmed it in China, and then not only that, but like the I mean, this is gonna go very political with this movie, but like another one's like you heard what the main actress said about like she supports the Hong Kong police and everything, right?
Yeah, but I remember I thought I saw somewhere she said that like 2 years ago or something.
Yes.
Like two, it's like not even a recent
No, and
comment.
then not only that, but like when that came out or when that surfaced, there are other Chinese stars like Jackie Chan, like, you know, Donnie Yen, I think they said too, that have come out and supported the Chinese or the Hong Kong police, you know. And so I'm like, why aren't they getting flack? And why is she on the only one getting flack? You know, like I don't understand that. I feel like if you're gonna criticize a comment, you need to criticize everyone who's made that comment, you know?
They're probably doing that because they're like, oh, Jackie Chan and Donnie Yen are not too big, but they're bigger stars than
Yeah.
her. They feel like maybe with her, like they can easily attack her because she's like new
Right,
and.
and I don't I
Not to get like sexist, but like a lot of people attack. I've seen a lot of people more attack like actresses versus
actors,
actors.
yeah. I've noticed that
It's like the
too.
same thing with Kelly Marie Tran from Star Wars. Like they
Dude,
attacked her for no
my heart
reason.
breaks for her, and I honestly agree. And again, this is gonna go on a weird tangent, but I honestly agree with John Boyega how they handled the entire
Oh,
dude.
100%.
I'm just like I full, you see it, and I completely agree. And I remember after walking out of the first time seeing Rise of Skywalker, and I was just like, dude, I'm like they completely like don't care about her. They really don't. And I'm just like
Well, it's the same thing with like I was talking with Nick about it. If you look at the poster for Force Awakens, John Boyega is like front and center. He might not be the biggest on the poster, but he's big. Look at the Rise of Skywalker poster. He's like in the corner, like super
Yeah, and
tiny.
he has nothing
I think he's
to
ti
do. Nothing to do.
Is he tinier than I feel like he was tinier than if Leia was even on the poster. Let me see the
I think they're about
poster.
the same size.
But yeah, like in Rise of Skywalker, he does nothing. Rose does
Yeah.
nothing.
And she needs to stay back to watch the or to study or what was that? What was that dumb excuse? And I was just like, "What?"
Okay, so John Boyega's he's bigger than most people on the cover, but again, I don't know the actress's name, but the other black girl in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. The one with the horses.
She's on the cover. She does nothing in the
movie. I know,
movie.
And it sucks because I remember seeing interviews with her. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm in a Star Wars movie, and I can't believe it, blah, 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 all this and that. And then I'm like, oh, cool, I can't wait to see what she does. And she does nothing.
That's just Disney being like, look at us, we're diverse, we're inclusive, but you look at all their stuff, they include, like, the girl, like, the two lesbian commanders.
That
they
was
kiss
so
for, like, a second.
Out of left field. I was like, why is everyone kissing out of nowhere? I don't get it.
They're not even, like, it would be more of a bigger deal if, like, Rey did it, because she's, like, a prominent character, or they, like, built up a relationship with
right,
someone else.
Right,
but
it's literally, because it was so out of left field, and not only just them kissing, it was just everyone just, like, had this kissing fever, and I'm like, not even, like, Return of the Jedi did they do that, you know? And I'm like, it was just very odd, and it felt very out of place.
It's like the new Oscar list for Best Picture.
I heard about that.
Like, you have to meet a checklist in order to get nominated. I don't like it either. Yeah,
because now all you are is
Cuarón
just a checklist, you know?
Yeah, Alfonso Cuarón was talking about it. He's like, now it just feels like it's not going to come naturally. Like, it's like you have to hit a checklist if you want to get nominated.
Exactly.
Which is defeating the purpose of making a film for
right.
you. Like, why don't they just nominate it because it's
right.
good?
And I think...
Stop nominating the same 8 films every year. Just expand your horizon, Academy.
Right. And I agree. Because it's just like... Because, like, what was it? I think not last year. I think 2 years ago. I mean, yeah, because 2 years ago was Green Book, I think, right?
Yeah. It was the same year as Roma, I think. Because Roma should have won that.
I think so, too. I think Roma or Black Klansman should have won that, but mm-hmm. I mean maybe it's just because I'm not of that mindset and I'm just ignorant to that side of things, but for me it's just like I really enjoyed and still enjoy Green Book, and I really like that movie, and I'm just like
I think I walked out of the theater and I said it was a fine movie but not Best Picture worthy.
I walked out of it. I'm like, man, this is a really good movie. Really strong performances. But if you look at the other movies that came out that year, is it better than the others? No, I don't think so.
Not by a long shot.
I think Black Klansman really like had my jaw to the floor. I think that one. Mm-hmm. Roma was okay. I really couldn't get behind Roma. I wanted to, but Roma was just, I don't know, I just couldn't really get with it.
Yeah, I like Roma, though. I like it a lot, especially rewatching it, too. But Black Klansman, I feel like, could have been a better Best Picture, especially over Green Book.
I love Black Klansman.
Black Klansman had a better message than Green Book.
I can see that. It's weird because, like, as dark as Black Klansman is, especially with the topic and everything, it's a movie I can consistently watch and rewatch and rewatch in a weird way. I don't know why. But, like, it's almost like Spotlight. I love Spotlight. I can rewatch that movie, like, endlessly and never get bored of it. Like, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Movies, like, I get if you have a political message in it, but I feel like now they're... Like, the Academy doesn't know the difference between, like, good movies with good messages versus, like, meeting an agenda or meeting, like, the quote-unquote, like the politically correct choice.
Right. Because I think Green Book had a good message. I think it really did. But is it better? Oh, but, like, it was made fine. It's not a bad movie. It's just, like, there were better movies made, you know?
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, we'll finish up, like, we'll talk about Tenet right now, and we can finish up real quick.
Okay.
Just give my thoughts.
Sorry, Dan, I know we're over here on a tangent and everything.
yeah, we'll correct it. We'll course it back.
Okay.
But just briefly about Tenet, like I said, it was good to be back in a theater. Mm-hmm. Tenet is super loud. It was super
really?
Loud. It was so, well, it also didn't help, I think we sat under one of the speakers.
Oh, God.
And it was super loud, but I think it's a film, like, it is kind of confusing with, like, the whole backwards and reverse and forward.
Yeah.
But it's not too confusing. Like, I say a lot of Christopher Nolan movies aren't too confusing if you actually, like, watch it. Like, I know a lot of people say Inception is confusing.
I can see that, not, yeah.
I can see it, but, like, I feel like it's just because maybe I've seen it a couple times or, like, two or three times, but even the first time I watched it, I'm like, it's pretty straightforward.
Right, because I remember...
It's like knowing just the different dreams.
Yeah, because I remember my mom, even, when we recently rewatched that one, and she was like, oh, wow, I didn't catch that before. You know, there's so much rewatchability with his movies. Little details you miss. You completely miss.
That's why I want to rewatch Tenet, like, because Tenet's not his best film by far.
I saw a YouTube video saying, like, oh, Tenet is not a masterpiece, and here's why. And I'm like, I want to watch it because I want to know, but since I haven't seen it,
yeah.
I don't want to ruin it for myself, you know?
It is enjoyable. It's good. Christopher Nolan, I was talking with Nick again.
Uh-huh.
I was saying how Chris Nolan and Denis Villeneuve are, like, the only two directors who don't sacrifice their artistic vision but still make blockbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, with Blade Runner and with Dune coming out, they look, like, artistically like his voice. But those are going to be, especially Blade Runner, are huge spectacles. Same thing with Nolan. Like, he makes these blockbuster movies, but it's like his art. It's not like a Michael Bay film.
Right.
Tenet definitely is, like, again, not his best movie, and it's not perfect. There was a lot of flaws. I think for me, it's more some pacing issues.
Okay.
And a few times it's a little over expository with the dialogue. It's just constantly explaining.
Okay.
How everything works, especially at the beginning, they explain how, like, all the reverse stuff works. It's like a whole scene dedicated to just explaining
Jeez.
All this info. But there are, like, it is a film where I love the score. I was even working out to it right before we started recording
this.
Yeah. It's also, Christopher Nolan is a director where I always watch his stuff, and I'm always wondering how he filmed certain things or how he accomplished certain techniques, especially with this film, with things going in forward while simultaneously going backwards.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, how did you do this? Like, how did you pull this off? I would recommend either waiting to get it on 4K or Blu-ray if you can't see it in theaters, or if you can see it in theaters, like, go check it out in IMAX or Dolby.
Okay.
And you will not be disappointed.
Okay. I think, yeah, that's what I've been hearing. So I'm like, okay, I'm trying to tamper my excitement, you know?
Yeah, don't go into it thinking it's going to be his best movie or, like...
Okay.
Go into it just knowing it's a Nolan movie and just, like, enjoy the ride.
Because I whatchamacallit, yeah, that's what I've been hearing is that, like, the first half is kind of confusing and kind of boring, but the second half, especially the ending, is like, whoa, you know?
There's a lot of cool sequences in it. There is some, like, lull moments, but I think for me, like, the performances were bringing me back in and... The special effects and all the reverse forward stuff was keeping me enthralled.
They were showing on I think it was on ABC or something like that. It was a interview with David Washington. What's his name? John David Washington?
Yeah.
And they were showing how he had to literally fight backwards and talk backwards. And so, like, half of that stuff is not even a visual effect or, like, audio effect or anything. That's them, like, literally speaking backwards. You know, and I'm just...
That's what I hope on the Blu-ray when it comes out, that there's, like, a behind-the-scenes of how they filmed
it. Oh, I know. I wish that Inception had that, because Inception, their behind-the-scenes goes very surface level, and I'm like, dude, I want to know more. Like, tell me, you know?
Exactly. There's, like, movies, like, your behind-the-scenes are cool, but it doesn't really tell me anything.
Yeah. Like, when I got the, I told you I got Avatar, right? Like the 9-disc collection at a thrift shop.
I think so, yeah.
Dude, I started putting the first, like, special edition disc, and I was like, oh my god, there's 9 hours. I was like, jeez, this is horrible.
Yeah, that's what I'm just hoping Tenet comes out with some cool behind the scenes stuff.
I know, me too.
I would say if you get the chance to see it, go check it out in, like, any way you can. Probably, like, the best way you could probably find it. But those are my little 2 cents on Tenet.
For sure. I'm excited for it still because, it's, you know, it's Nolan. So, I mean...
It was worth going back to the theater for.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's almost like Steven Spielberg, where it's kind of like he never had a bad movie. It's just, So it's just like, eh, it wasn't as good as the others, you know?
True. Yeah, there's like directors like that.
Because and then there's some directors who are like, bro, what was that? You know?
Right.
Oh, dude, like the, oh my God, like the Cats director. What's his name? Tom Hooper?
Oh, Tom Hooper.
Dude, I'm like, I love the King's Speech. Love it to death. That's another one I can watch on repeat. Dude, I'm like, when it came to Cats, I was like, what are you doing? You know? I was just like, oh my God.
Garbage.
That's garbage. Garbage.
But on that note, we'll end with Cats.
Oh my God.
That's going to wrap things up for today's episode. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, no problem.
You want to do your little spiel again for the fourth time of where everybody can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube and Instagram and Twitter, A3Reviews. I'm doing reviews, getting back into it recently with the new stuff coming out. There's a new movie coming out, this one with Janelle Monáe, and I was going to do a review on that. That one comes out on Friday, I believe, so the review should be up Saturday, I think. So definitely check it out. Let me know what you guys think. I post the reviews both on YouTube and Instagram. So
cool. I'll post all the links and everything in the description. It was good having you on the show. I miss you, buddy.
I know. Now that you're halfway across the country, can't even, dude. Because there's so many times where I'm just like, oh, we can film and I can have tip. Oh,
That's what I'm hoping out here, because I'm closer to, like, my buddy Nick. Like, we've been talking about filming stuff, and, like, the script I sent you or, like, the treatment I sent you, like, I want to shoot it with him and try to get, like, a weekend shoot out of it.
That's awesome. Because there's a film competition that's going on right now, and I was like, oh, I can do this. And then I'm like, but I don't want to get anyone sick. You know? I'm like, if they get sick if they get sick while filming and they're with me, I would feel horrible. Like, and I'm just like,
right.
That's my one thing. That's, I mean, I have scripts like lined up, but I'm just like, I don't feel comfortable asking someone to like open yourself up to possibly be getting sick. You know, like, I can't do that. I can't ask that of someone, you know?
Yeah. That's like the risk running right now, but hopefully things are getting better.
Hopefully. I know. As of right now, I'm just like, well, I'm going to do a one man show. Just like record myself just doing You know, I mean, like, David F. Sandberg did it for I don't know how many years. So if he can do it, we can do it.
He's still doing it.
Yeah, he still does it.
I think he's still doing it.
Yeah, it's awesome. So I'm like, dude, I'm like, if he can do it, we can do it. So I'm like, you know, it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. So I'm like, you know, why not?
Exactly. But you can catch the show everywhere. You're already listening to it right now, so you know where to listen to it. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher. We also got a Facebook and Instagram at Lighting Up the Marquee. Go check it out. Go check out Arsenio's pages. We'll have him back on the show very soon. I'm trying to figure out what to do for October. I might do, like, horror movie stuff, so I'll probably get you back on for some of that as well.
Dude, I recently, speaking of horror movies, I just rewatched Dr. Sleep. Love that movie.
Ooh, nice.
To death. Dude, Nurse Ratched comes out this Friday, too, on Netflix. And whatchamacallit? The Haunting of Bly Manor comes out in October or something like that.
We could probably talk about that.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Next month in October, I'd be totally down.
But, yeah, we'll work something out. We'll probably do Bly Manor when that comes out.
Dude, I'm so ready. Dude, we can do a twofer. We could do Haunting of Hill House and Bly Manor.
I'd be down. Yeah,
dude,
let's do that.
Totally down.
But until then, I'm your host, Tim Martin. This has been Lighting Up the Marquee.